The Third Code Diary podcast, we unwrap our life's experiences, our journeys, and lessons learned along the way, just as they are. I'm your host, Wanjiku Mwaura. Welcome. So today, I want to talk about something that touched my heart, something that I have talked about before with friends in passing or lightly, even with family. But until recently, I had that discussion in what seemed, again, just like a passing cloud, you know, just another conversation in passing. One amongst many other conversations. And then I realized, no, this one isn't just another conversation. This is a conversation that actually needs to happen. This is a conversation that parents in my generation and the generations to come need to have and be conscious and very intentional about it, because we pass down stuff to our children, consciously or unconsciously. Now, for today, I'm not going to be speaking about personal attributes, you know, like baldness, you know, you inherited baldness from as an attribute from your father or your great uncle, you know, or the inability to differentiate between certain colors and so on and so forth. Actually, on the contrary, today I am bending or leaning a little towards the negative. Truth be told, we have some of us that stem from very toxic relationships with our parents, to be precise, you know, and in return, for some, if not most of these children, have struggled and are still struggling in life with that same toxicity. Some are fighting in silence, and for some, it's louder than you know, than they or anyone else could ever have imagined. You know, some of them call these the demons they fight every day. Some have won the war, but of course, after having to go through some hellfire, you know, some are struggling to get out of that fire. They haven't given up yet. And for some, the fire seems too hot. Seems like it will never stop burning. And so somehow they've given up. They've given up the hope, you know, given up the spirit to fight, and given up wanting to disassociate themselves with those negatives. As parents, and I can authoritatively speak as one, we do play a major role. That one is a given, and I know I have said that many, many times, even in the previous podcast. We play a major role. A very important role in how our children will turn out in life. But why do I say this? It's because we do have the power to bless and the power to curse our children, you know, through our actions, and most importantly, through what comes out of our mouths as parents. Remember, the power to bless and or curse lies herein in our tongues. I've taken this route to express this because I have seen and experienced different levels of struggles in different young people. People close to me, you know, family, friends, I have seen the struggle. Some struggle with identity crisis because one or two important people whose one amongst many jobs was to affirm their children and speak good over them failed in that space. Now, there's quite a lot that goes into impacting the mind positively and strengthening our characters positively. But when as parents, we hurl insults at our children, you know, young as they may be, calling them all sorts of names, useless, good for nothing, stupid, you know, and all this ugly, unproductive, and dehumanizing names, just know that there's a seed being planted in their hearts and in their minds. And it will make that child grow into an individual with, you know, very little faith in themselves if there'll be any at all. Also with very little self-esteem, and most of these people grow struggling. They struggle a lot, even into adulthood, with self-esteem issues and many, many other undesirable qualities, because that is what they grew up, knowing of themselves and even hearing. That is what they constantly had to hear. That's what had to go through their ears day in, day out, you know, coming from sources of authority. Please note, coming from sources of authority. Remember, to our children, as parents, we are the world to them, you know, but from a different view. And as a Christian too, I know and I believe strongly that it doesn't have to always end up like that. You know, we struggle, we fight, we have moments because of, I think I would call this childhood trauma, but I stand to be corrected, childhood trauma from growing up and from the environment back at home, from parents, from caregivers. It doesn't have to always end up in sadness or in hopelessness. No. Over and above praying over your life, there's so much more that can be done, because in the process, most of our young people get lost. They get lost in drugs, get lost in alcoholism, just get completely lost. But well, while we have rehabs where we take them to, hoping to get things straightened up, we also have prayer, and we have the person's ability from inside, you know, to want to come out of that cloud, to want to fight and come out of that cloud. Remember when I say that those who say these are demons, they fight every day. Like I said, as a Christian girl, I have been taught to pray over my life. And now, as a parent, also pray over my children's lives, you know, speaking blessings and nothing but positive, good stuff. As parents, again, we have that very strong authority, you know. Now, recently, I had an interesting conversation with a certain young professional in his field. And through this talk, and in that moment, it affirmed to me just how badly parents can and have affected how their children have grown, you know, and their thought processes, and consequently their outward view of life, of marriage, of having children of their own, and, you know, starting their own families. And quite frankly, I think it's quite sad that this young adult, for example, I'll just give this his example, strong, able young man, you know, doesn't quite have a relationship with one of his parents, you know. Even when he's just found himself, struggled, yes, found himself and is actually ready to start a family of his own, he just doesn't have a relationship with one of his parents. And I felt that was very sad. In fact, for many years, this guy has not wanted to be anything like his parent, you know. Growing up, everything he saw, his parents treating, you know, his other parents, you know, it made him not want to grow to be anything like him, which is a plus, you know. And this was through his upbringing, like I said. And at some point, he had reservations. You know, when you see all this, for some, you will develop reservations when it comes to marriage, the institution of marriage, and even the thought of bringing children into the world again. And that was something that he just could not sit and think about or consider. Reasons being, he didn't want to turn out again like his parent and didn't want his children to turn out like him, because he thought that he would probably just be, you know, like it's a trickle down effect. I'll just be like this guy, you know. I mean, it's a whole lot in there. But somehow along the way, I'm happy, I'm proud for this guy. Along the way, he picked himself up, you know, and got to accept, got to work through everything that was going on in his family for his sake, you know. But for him, he felt like if he needed to detach himself, then so be it. Detach and try and fix myself, then so be it. And it turned out okay on one side, because he went ahead and met somebody he wants to settle with and treat them better than he saw his parents treating each other. And to be specific, better than one of his parents was treated. That's a plus also, you know. But even as we continued having this talk, what I picked was that there had been a real fear before all that. There had been a real fear of commitment for them, you know, the fear of showing and extending love, also expressing themselves and their views in their family was almost unheard of. I mean, who allowed that? You know, the way sometimes you would talk to your parents and they're asking why was this, and then you say I felt or I thought. That was not allowed in their family. And so I've had also some people say that after coming from a home background, like, you know, wherever it is they come from, they're really not sure that having children, and this issue of children is, it's quite something, because I've had it more than once, twice, people not wanting to bring children into this world because of where they came from, you know. Because they, you know, of course they consider this to be a harsh, nasty world where to get love, affection, and probably even care, something else would have to be used as leverage. But to me, this begs the question, shouldn't love come freely, you know, or flow freely to us from our parents, our caregivers, and so on? But then again, is this definition of love different to different people? You know, why am I still talking about this issue of love? It's because some young people now feel like their parents are and were the way they are to them because they probably weren't loved enough. You know, something to note themselves, you know, and so they didn't know how to extend the same. This to me goes back to, how then were our parents shown love or affection by their parents? Now, of course, things were done differently in every generation, but I say love is love, kindness is kindness, and so is the other flip side of the coin. If you are taught kindness, you'll give kindness back. If you were taught or shown gentleness, then you will definitely ooze that gentleness out of you. You know, it will just definitely ooze out of you. And still, so is the other side. Is the other downside of the coin. You know? If all you experienced was insults and harshness and, you know, no love at all, and, you know, all these are the negative things, you will definitely not know how to show the opposite of that. You will not know how to show love or give love, because all you grew up learning and hearing were insults and no love at all. And so as a parent, or as parents, let's not work so hard to make our children feel so little, so inconsequential. Let's not make them feel like they have no right to think for themselves. You know, when well equipped, that unless you do the thinking for them, then that's the end for them. Let's empower our children to be what they were created to be. Let's help them achieve greatness, and even help them surpass us, because after all, and very important to note, is that we are not in competition with our children. We are not in competition with our children. We are meant to be proud of them. We are meant to cheer them on at every milestone of their lives. Let's bring our children back home. Let's talk to them and with them so that they do not want to run away from us at the very slightest, fastest chance they get. Let's get them close to us and teach them what love is. Teach them how a wife is treated. Teach them how a husband is treated, so that marriage is not the one thing they'll detest. And how will we teach them this? It's because our children learn through observation. So let's be kind to one another back at home, because then we have those children right there learning through how we talk to each other and learning through how we treat each other. Let's also give them the chance to be heard when they speak. Remember, they're not empty heads. And through this, we'll know the kind of thought patterns our children develop, so that then we are able to guide them and cultivate some confidence in them. Let's parent our children and also be the parents that God purposed us to be. Listen to this captivating read I came across. When you see a dandelion, do you see a wish or a weed? When you hear a child cry, do you hear a need or a demand? When you hold a sticky hand, do you feel blessed or burdened? Our perspective determines our response, and our response determines our children's reality. We get to choose our perspective. So let's wish wishes, meet needs, and count blessings, and make the brief season of childhood magical, peaceful, and joy-filled reality for our children. This is from L.R. Nost from 2000 Kisses a Day. Stay coded, guys. Thank you for making time to check in and having a listen. Kindly subscribe, like, and follow Third Code Diary on all our social media handles with the name Third Code Diary on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, please send me an email on thethirdcodediary@gmail.com and bring in your contribution, your suggestions, stories you'd like us to talk about, and even ask questions too. Until next time, stay coded.